will find the scripture, John 16:13. I'm going to read it to you and with you. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child understands me. Help me to be in tune, Lord, your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you direct to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me, Lord, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, remind me that everybody in this audience today, this hour, this campus today, I'm the one under a greater judgment. You expect more out of me because I'm a teacher of your word. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Today we're going to be handling the spirit of truth and how that works in the life of discipleship. But before we get there, you notice the t-shirt twins here this morning, right? With Logan and me. This is our very simple logo. It's we call it the Hope Arrow, is how we refer to it. And the H stands for having a spiritual conversation with people. Teach you how to do that. Teach you how not to be afraid of that. The O stands for we're going to be opening the scriptures, Bible study, but really a hard focus on the Gospels. Read them, reread them, reread them, and reread them. Why? So that you get a picture of Jesus, how he responded, what he did, how he asked questions. The P stands for pray and listen. Pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. The E, it's a good Southern Baptist thing, eat with people. Spend time eating with people, sharing in conversation. And the arrow is meaning you're sent. So it's referred to this as the Hope Arrow. If you connect with our church, this is what we want you doing. You're not going to find a program-driven church here. We've done that. We're turning the ship. We're moving away from that. Just individually. If you connect with our church, I'm going to lead you and guide you to do this Hope Arrow. Have spiritual conversations, open up the scripture, pray and listen to the Holy Spirit, eat with people, know that God sends you out in your world. I just had a conversation this morning, goes, you need to start a Bible study, Pastor. If I go, will you start a Bible study? Right? Y'all looking at me kind of weird. Yeah. I'm in Bible studies all the time. You start the Bible study. Well, who do I invite? Anybody invite the whole state of Kentucky? I don't care who you invite. Y'all looking at me weird. Is it because it's a rainy, gloomy morning, or are we starting off bad? You understand what I'm saying? The Lord sends you. Okay? Don't be looking for me to create everything for you. I can make you as busy as a bee, but that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's you following the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, the sermon this morning, the first service just looked at me really strange, right? Like I wasn't invited to all the reindeer games, you know? Just look at me, really weird. It's about you being sent by God, him equipping you and sending you and being able to use you. Going to go into some history for a moment that you don't know about. When the Lord was asking me to start Hope Church, I was dealing with two things. Number one, do you plant a church in the town that you're already pastoring? Is that professional? Is it ethical? What about that? So I was dealing with planting a church to begin with. Then the second part of that was I felt the Lord asking me to plant a church in the town I was already pastoring. And then your response could be, hey, Jeffro, we have enough churches. We're saturated with churches. Let me remind you that just because places have a building doesn't mean they're a church. Just because you have a crowd doesn't mean you're a church. That's a hard thing to swallow, but it's true. It doesn't mean that. Just because your sign or, as they say in the old days, your shingle is out there doesn't mean that's what you are. Representation of what you do and how we do it determines who we are. So I was dealing with, do you do that? Now, let's get into perspective. In these two counties, Franklin and Anderson, 67,000 of both county populations are without Christ. They're in a sense of lostness. If we started 67 churches, all 67 churches would have to go over 1,000 people to reach this group. So, you know, you're going, well, preacher, we have enough churches. We don't have enough churches. If you do this, people are going to come to Christ. If you do this, people are going to be called into ministry. If you do this, church planters are going to evolve. If you do this, movements of God are going to happen. If you do this, you're going to see the miraculous stuff you crave yourself to be a part of, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And we've used programs way too much. Now, back to a little bit of history. So I'm dealing with, do I plant a church in where I'm already pastoring? Is it ethical? Is it professional? Did I think through those things? I tried really hard. One of the things I did that you don't know that I did is I found 15 pastors in the state of Kentucky. A lot of them pastored very large churches. And I met with them, scheduled appointments with them, and went and met with all of them. In that discussion, I let them know what I thought my calling was, how ill-prepared I was for it, and I wanted to know what they thought. And I also wanted to know about me starting a church in a place I'm already pastoring. All 15 of them encouraged me to begin the church. All 15 of them said if they had it to do over again, they would have planted churches. Let me give you an example here. It's easier to give birth than it is to raise the dead. Okay? Yes? All right. So all of them said, they looked in their past and said, I wish I'd have planted a church. So I met with one particular pastor out of the 15. His name was Laverne Butler. Sounds like a girl's name, I know, but this man was a man in the kingdom of God in my eyes. He was the pastor of 9th and O in Louisville, and at that time, 9th and O was the most kicking church in the state of Kentucky. Just highly evangelistic preacher, all that's involved in that. So I met with him. He was one of my dad's dearest friends, and my dad had gone on to be with the Lord. So I met with Laverne. We met at the barbecue barn when it existed down the road here. We met there. We were chatting, and his church would probably compare to Hillview Heights now, hundreds of baptisms a year. Laverne was a flashy dresser, just yellow pants and a red sport coat and a weird-looking handkerchief hanging out, you know, his little pocket handkerchief. That's just the way Laverne was. He was flashy. He was loud. Beads of sweat would pop out on his forehead when he preached. And so we went through our discussion. I was there seeking his blessing. He said, Jeff, I want you to promise me something. I said, what? He said, I have preached all of my life that you must be born again, and you must. And he said, you must preach that too. And I said, exactly. And he goes, but that's not what I want you to promise me. He goes, I know you'll do that. Will you promise me that the people that God asked you to shepherd, will you promise me that you teach them how to live? And I said, I would. He said, if I have one regret, I never taught my people how to live. I taught them how to be saved, but I never taught them how to live. So if you ever want to label me, let me help you out. I'm a whole counsel of God guy, okay? I don't believe he contradicts himself. I don't believe he contradicts his character, no matter what generation of people he's dealing with. So I'm real quick to go to what does the whole counsel of God say about this? And I do that because not only do I want you to know that you must be born again, I want you to know that the Lord has me as your shepherd to teach you how to live. How do you do that? And so as we get into discipleship, I'm going to be heavy on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a key to you learning how to live. Yes, incredible truths about Jesus is salvation, about who the Father is, But the whole key to this right now, where we are in time, in the season of our lives, is you've got to learn how to live and respond with the Spirit of truth. So I want to give you proof about the Spirit of truth. We had John 16:13. You see it there. The Spirit of truth comes. I want you to look at John 14:17. He is the Spirit of truth. The world's unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and he will be in you. We look at John 15:26. In John 15:26, it says, when the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He's always giving witness to Jesus. Look at 1 John 4:6. And all these are John's writings that I'm giving to you, the gospel writer. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the Spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. I want you to look at the next to the last line and the last word. I want you to see capital spirit versus lowercase spirit. I want you to see it. It's very important. The Spirit of truth is a reference to a person. The Holy Spirit is one of the three ways that God reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us as Father. He reveals himself to us as Son. And he reveals himself to us through the Holy Spirit. He is a person, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. The lowercase s is a reference to it being a spirit. And the capital S versus the lowercase s, meaning that it's a signifying fact that it is of a demonic kingdom. Let me remind you in a greater detail in that one verse that if you're living a life of deception, you are trespassing in a demonic kingdom. If there's any kind of deception among you whatsoever, and you're going, I don't feel demonically oppressed, that's part of the deception. Part of the deception is to think it's you, when it's actually a demonic oppression. So if there's anything deceptive about you, you're being influenced by a spirit instead of being influenced by a person, the Spirit of truth. Capital S versus lowercase s. Now, I'm going to get real nitpicky. Buckle up, all right? Buckle up. We're going to stay in this same verse. How many of you are here this morning and you really wish you were somewhere else? Inwardly, the Holy Spirit took note because there was no outward expression of that. But here's a key in this verse. To those who listen, they are from God. To those who don't listen, they are under the spirit, lowercase s, of deception. You got to look at that in that verse. Have you ever dealt with people who just didn't want to hear the word of God? I've been there. If you're here this morning and listening is the last thing on your mind, you're going, I don't feel like it. There's a demonic situation going on there. And you're going, preacher, I don't feel that way. That's the deception. You don't feel, but they're blocking you. How many times does the Lord say, he who has an ear, finish it for me. Let him hear. How many times does he say that? A ton. Thank you. And so if you're from the God, there's a craving to listen from God. If you're being controlled by the Spirit of truth, there's a listening effect. If you're being controlled by the lowercase s, spirit of deception, there is a I don't want to listen effect. So if we're following the Lord, if I'm going to teach you how to live as a pastor and a shepherd, then listening has got to be the big deal. I want to learn how to follow him deeper, stronger than I ever have in my life. So what? I'm listening. Lord, what's the next thing? What do I, it's a life of complete surrender and continual surrender in your life. What do I do? So there's the spirit of truth, a person, versus lowercase s, the spirit of deception, which is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a concept. He's not a philosophy. He is a person. I'm going to stay in mostly the writing of John today. There's two other verses, one that I'm going to handle in Proverbs and one in Corinthians. So we'll be handling Solomon and then also the writing of Paul. But mostly from the picture of John, the gospel writer, who was incredibly beloved by the Lord. And in this, we will understand and see his picture of the Spirit of truth. But one of his descriptions of the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. And he says he's the one who has come along beside you. He's not only in you, but a picture is he's beside you. And if you want to see the Holy Spirit as a life coach, then go ahead. But I think this is one of the beautiful things about Jesus. Jesus has given us, he says, I won't leave you as orphans. He gives us a life coach. And this life coach is there to guide you and to remind you. And one of the keys in you living your life as a follower of Christ is just learn to live under his guidance and his remindance. Just let him be able to do that. It's very important for you to understand that. That is one of the keys. Not just recognize that he exists, but how do I follow his guiding? How do I see my life as being sent? Well, he will do that. A key to discipleship is his guiding and reminding. Another key is to respond, just respond immediately to him. Like I had a guy after the first service tell me something about Logan. It's beautiful. And you all know me, you know my personality, right? Most of you. I go, why are you telling me this? I'm not Logan. Right? I said, go tell Logan. Oh, okay. And I could have said, yeah, you're right about Logan. I feel that way too about Logan. But I'm not Logan. If the Holy Spirit gave you that thought about Logan, go tell Logan. Don't come tell me. Are y'all with me? Y'all looking at me really strange. Y'all looking at me like it's tax season, and I'm looking at Dudley back there in the back, our CPA. So you understand? It's not that hard. And following the Holy Spirit, if you want to see miraculous things, then just be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. You'll come to me and go, hey, preacher, I think we've quenched the Holy Spirit. We've grieved the Holy Spirit. He's not working. Uh-uh. He is working. You're the one who's not working. If you will follow him in obedience and meeting the very simplest things of your life, doing this, you are going to see miraculous things happen. Because the Holy Spirit's about miraculous. Here's what you all do. Y'all, I wish you all could see the way I see you this morning. Y'all are like this. Impress me, preacher, you know. Hone your skills. Communicate better. Be Francis Chan. Well, Francis Chan may need to be Jeff Eaton, you know? I mean, it could go both ways. I told someone the other day, Hawkinsmith, where is he? Is he here? Tommy sent me a picture of a buck that he harvested with a bow, and just proudly, Brother Jeff, I love you. And I said, Andy Stanley doesn't get this in Atlanta. You know, nobody sends Andy Stanley a picture of a buck, you know? How blessed I am to be able to get that. So you're going, preacher, impress yourself. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit guiding you. And you'll sit here and you'll go, you just think the Holy Spirit is just going to do what he does and you're going to spectate. No. Uh-uh. The Holy Spirit has chosen to do his work through you. Now you can argue that till you're blue in the face. But Scripture proves that. God's plan is for the Holy Spirit to activate you not for him to activate me and you all cheer me on. It's to activate you. And some reasons we're not seeing things happen, you're going, because we're not doing this. We're not doing the simplest things. Like the guy is saying, man, I really feel this way about Logan. And I go, well, go tell Logan. Logan, where'd he go? Where'd Logan go? There you are. Had you rather heard it from him or me? Yeah, you could say both. But both would have been right. But that's okay. But yeah, hear from him. You see, the simplest thing. Was that good for you? Did that bless you? Yeah. Did it bless you in a season of your life? Yes. That's a simple little thing. Just gave him a nudge. So we look at that. It's the Holy Spirit. You want to see stuff happen, then the key is that you got to follow him. Look at John 14:6. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I know you know this verse, but I'm going to pick it out to you again. Truth is a person. Jesus says, I am truth. Truth is a person. It's not just words. And you're going, well, his word is truth. That's right, it is. Because the word is him. John chapter 1 says, he is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. So he's from the beginning. Let me clarify it. Jesus is the spoken word of creation. He is the living word. He is the written word. He's all of it. But Jesus said truth is a person, not a concept, not a philosophy, not just literary terms. I am truth. So truth is a person. Let me prove that in John chapter 8, 32 and 36. You might need to use this. I asked for both these verses to be on the screen simultaneously so you can see how Jesus interchanges himself for the word truth. It says, you will know the truth will set you free. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you're really free. So truth and Jesus as a person are interchanged there. So when the Spirit of truth will guide you to all truth, he's guiding you to a person, and that person is Christ. Always giving witness to the presence and the person of Christ. He's going to lead you to that. As we learn discipleship, we're learning two new questions. One question is, what are you celebrating? And don't say the win over Mississippi State last night. What are you celebrating in your life? And here's what happens. If people answer you, most people will answer past tense, which means they're not celebrating anything in the present. If you are following the Lord, will you have celebration in the present? Yes. Last 2 years have been tough for us. You know that. I'm open about it. And you'll say, well, preacher, you talk about it all the time. I'm going to talk about Tom the rest of my life. What am I celebrating in Tom's life, diagnosis, suffering, and death? I'm celebrating that I don't have to go through that alone. And you're going, well, you have Julie. I do have Julie. But I can't help Julie's grief. And Julie really can't help mine. I'm celebrating that I don't have to go through one of the darkest times of my life alone. He reminds me that he is with me. I celebrate that. Another question that we're going to teach you to ask is, what's challenging you? Where's your tension? How can I help with that? Those two questions alone really get down to the present. You might have past celebration that you talk about. That's great. Where's the present celebration? If you're following the Lord, there'll be present celebration. And then if there's a challenging time, it's not going to be past tense. It's probably going to be present. So then how can I help you with that? What can I encourage you to do with that? Two questions that are going to bring things to light. Last Sunday, we said that the Lord doesn't make you a better version of you. He makes you a new you, right? Well, if he makes me a new you, then what do I look like? What does that resemble? Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 for a moment. This will help you out. We all, with unveiled faces, in other words, we've seen the light, Hank Williams, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image, which is of the Lord, from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We're not working on a better brand of me, a newer version of me. We're working on a new me. What's that new me going to look like? It's going to look like him. Now, I know you've got a lot of questions. I'm going to go ahead and take you to this verse, and then we're going to deal with this. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It is a life verse for the Eatons, and it may be for some of you. But it's been a life verse for us for close to 40 years. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right path. I want to handle, don't lean on your own understanding. Are there things in this world I don't understand? Yes. Do I understand Tom's death? No. Let me help you out. Some of you think you're going to know everything here. You won't. Paul writes in Corinthians that right now we only know in part, but one day we will fully know. We're just not in the fully know part of our life yet. That's for eternity. Paul says there are mysteries of God. The word mystery means known by God, hidden from us. You can try as hard as you want to. I don't know that you're going to have all that understanding. And here, the wisdom writer says, don't lean on your own understanding. There's just some things I can't figure out. But listen, just because I can't figure them out doesn't diminish my trust in him. Look at the verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. I don't have understand. And you're going, preacher, why? Why this time of my life? Why this season of my life? Why when we were just planning retirement? Why did this happen? And I'm going to help you out a little bit. I'm not going to help you out fully, but I'm going to help you out a little bit. Go back to that 2 Corinthians, Tammy, if you will, for a moment. And let me tell you what the Lord's goal is for you. The Lord's goal is for you to look like his son. The Father wants you to look like his son. I had a lady come up after the service and she goes, do you mean God's not interested in my goals? Well, yeah, I guess it depends on what your goals are. It just depends on what they are. But I know one goal he is interested in. What's that? For you to look like Jesus. You're going, what I go through, when I went through, when I'm going through, and why all this, and does he love me? Has he rejected me? Has he abandoned me? Does he not care about me? Does he favor other people over me? You know, I had a discussion. We talk about the prosperity gospel. Everybody's going to have a big Learjet and everything else, but the Lord also can call you to poverty too. He does that in Scripture. Nobody wants to hear that side of it, do they? But my point in this, his whole goal for you is for you to not be a better version of you, but a new you. And what's that new you going to look like? It's going to look like Jesus. For when his goal is that when people see you in your everyday life, that they are going to see a reflection of their son. If your goal is for the world to recognize you, then that's not his goal for you. His goal is for the world to see you, but yet when they see you, they see Jesus. That's his goal. So what do we go through? What we go through? We go through what we go through so that I'll end up more like Jesus. We're going through a tough time in our life, but what's the end result? Is that I'm going to look more like Jesus than I've ever looked like Jesus. And I go to the 23rd Psalm. You may love it for different reasons than why I do, but he is my shepherd. But I go straight to almost the middle of the chapter, into the valley of the shadow of death. The truth is, he said he will lead me through that valley. He doesn't have me camping out in that valley. So if you're there and you're camping out in the valley, it's because you've chosen to camp out in the valley. He promises to lead you through. I think that's one of the beautiful things of the gospel. And you're going, man, this is my life. No. Eternity is your life. This is the prep for eternity. I mean, this is kindergarten compared to where we're going to exist and live. True living's here. No. True living's not here. True living is there. This is prep work for that. So are there things I don't understand? Yes. Does that mean I failed in my theological pursuits? No. But just because I don't completely understand it doesn't diminish my trust. Job said in the middle of all of it to the enemy, even though you slay me, I will still trust in him. I will still trust in him. You know, some of you don't even know Andrew, our son, but he's a spitting image of his daddy. Handsome, isn't he? The other day somebody said, Andrew looks just like you. Of course, I puff up. If you say that in front of Andrew, he will turn. He will shy away from that. But he's my DNA. There's no need to check, you know? He's my DNA, absolutely. And though that's a small comparison of what I'm going to give you right now, it really fails in comparison, but it's as close as I can get. That when the father is proud, that when the world sees you, that they don't see you. They see his son. And I know that doesn't connect in every point. It's the closest I can get. But just a real simple end goal is that when the world sees Jeff, the world doesn't see Jeff. The world sees Jesus. And when the world sees you, they don't see you. They see him. And we can ask why, and you will, and I have, and I do. Can I completely understand everything? No. On the planet, I'm in that section of we only know in part. Some things we do know, but I only know in part. But just because I don't have all the understanding doesn't mean I diminish in my trust. But I can tell you how he leads you through those things. And he'll lead you through those things so that when the world sees you, they see his son. Revelation 22:17. Back to the Spirit. It says that the Spirit, both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. You see that word hears? If you're from God, you listen. If you're not from God, you don't. The word hears is a verb. It's very important here. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. And the one who is thirsty should come. Whoever desires should take the living water as a gift. Here's our invitation. The Spirit and the church, the bride, say, come. Whosoever will, for whatever reason,